This is JFM Podcast.
Every day, political stories fill our airways.
This morning, the national chairman of the police community relations.
From the regular.
It is time for us to unite and move the state forward.
To the absurd.
The Senate President has sent prayers to your mailbox.
News headlines get us talking. For every story that makes the headlines, you need experts and analysts.
The complaint basically is they will say motivation. I mean, the pay is not good.
Yeah, motivation and even.
The moral, and then we don't produce, we consume. You see, the social investment program was almost like a charity funding. Did it reach the poorest of the poor? And in what form? You borrowed and dashed people money. Dashed.
Every weekday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., join Ponsa Fanab and Gilbert Joseph on Nigeria at Sunset as they dissect trending political and social issues, bringing light to darkness and voices to silence.
Because as I am now, I'm a very confused man. Because whether to go to left or go to right.
A very good evening to you and welcome to the program Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanab. It is a beautiful Tuesday evening, 19th of March, 2024. Gilbert Joseph is here. Good evening, Gilbert. How's your day and how's the going?
Good evening, Ponsak. My day was all right. My day was great.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, well, good day it hasn't. It's been well. Did you observe the hazy nature of the weather today?
Yeah. Is that what they call moderate dust?
And those have you school reached that place? I don't go to school reach that place. Yeah, but the weather is, you know, is dusty, you know, kind of dusty. And I know that it's bringing a lot of, you know, things through the air. So you have to protect yourself, especially some... bacterial, viral infection, just like doctors will call it. Well, what stories have you followed today, Gilbert?
Of course, there are usually, you know, a number of stories, but Nnamdi Kanu was in court, you know, today, and lots of issues, lots of drama unfolded in the court. According to him, there's a grand plan to, you know, to take his life in DSS detention, and he would rather go to Kujer Correctional Facility rather than remain in DSS detention. And he has said, look, he has medical conditions that need to be attended to. And the DSS said they have no medical facilities, you know, in their facility, repetitive. Mm. But then, of course, it is what it is. And he also went to the length of pulling off his shirt, you know, just to be able to buttress to the judge that he's faced with some cardiovascular challenges, and of course his ribs have some issues, including swollen foot and all of that. But for me, looking at looking back at how, you know, Nnamdi Kanu was arraigned and all that.
Before you proceed with that, him saying the point that he preferred to be transferred to Kujer Correctional Facility, and then he said that if he's released, he's going to end insecurity
in the southeast.
So the question is that if he's released, is he going to still battle, you know, that sickness on the one hand? And on the other hand, if he's being transferred to Kujer Prison, does it mean that, you know, that illness will just go away
vanish
from him?
Big question. Yeah, serious questions.
Yeah, those are the questions, you know, that came to mind. Yeah, continue.
Serious questions. Yeah. Well, the worry for me is that this man had his peace relatively. And of course, when he was, you know, freed, we all know the political solutions that were adopted before eventually President Muhammadu Buhari, you know, allowed for him to be released from the prisons and all that. You just know how tough it is to deal with government, especially when you are taking up an issue such as what Mazi Nnamdi Kanu is doing. But he still went ahead, you know, to continue in that line. For me, you know, just listening to the man and some of the complaints he was presenting to Justice Binta Nyako and all that, is one that provoked pity for him. But on the one hand, he had his time, he had his freedom, you know, to have behaved at least in an orderly manner and not necessarily to push government and authorities to the length that he did and all of that. That's where I just feel for him. Because nobody, even if I were a judge, I wouldn't particularly trust him on the fact that once he's released, he wouldn't go back on some of...
John Bale.
Yes, John Bale, for example. Even though certain people still argue he didn't John Bale, his life was at risk and all of that. But he said a number of things, and he violated his bail conditions by holding gatherings that he was prohibited from holding. And so these are some of the issues that are just so tough to look at in the eye of the law.
Yeah, well, very tough issues, I'll say. But my own, the thing that I would like to say and, you know, make it very clear here is that ideas have consequences. Mm-hmm. If you want to pursue any idea, you know, in your life, be it good or bad, they have consequences. And I think that you'd have to weigh, well, I'm not going to give unsolicited, you know, advice here, but it's always wise, you know, for you to sit back and think, okay, if I do this, what is the outcome?
Where is it leading me to?
You know, because I believe that life, one of the basic and fundamental principle in life is whatever you sow, that you reap. It's very, very, it's
the law of nature.
Yeah, it's in agriculture, it's in, you know, every sphere. When Nnamdi Kanu was, you know, calling Nigeria all, you know, man of names, he's a zoo, he was, you know, wanting to start an insurrection. Okay, so imagine if during the time of Jonathan, Muhammad Yusuf, you know, wasn't killed, and he was, how different will the whole Boko Haram
narrative,
you know,
be?
And if you look at, you know, people who inspire insurrection, for me, the question is that what is your particular interest, you know, in doing that? Are you trying to help society, you know, to think up about the ideas that they are using? That society is being run in a very different light, or what exactly is your aim? I know that some people would like to argue this, you know, in connection with the issue of Shawari, that a court even, you know, dismissed the case because the federal government lacked interest, you know, in pursuing the case. By the way, he has reconnected with his family in America.
The US,
he has not seen them for five good years. Because his passport, you know, was overseas and what have you. So these are, you know, the issues. For me, if you are being taken to Kuje, will the sickness vanish? Mm. If you are being released, will the sickness vanish? And what magic wand, you know?
Do you have to stop
the insecurity
in the Southeast?
Yeah, I recall that even his lawyer, you know, read out a letter that Nnamdi Kanu wrote handwritten. He came and said that this is not printed. Mm-hmm. This is the handwriting of Mazin Nnamdi Kanu, you know, and what have you. Well, let's watch and see how that will unfold. And what are the stories again?
The Almajiri School, there's something, you know, that the president did about that. He approved the appointment of a new leadership for the National Commission. That's for Almajiri and out-of-school children education. I was excited, you know, at the action and the step taken by President Bola Tinubu. As revealed by his special advisor on media and publicity, that's Ajire Ngilale. But then again, these were certain policies that the Jonathan administration initiated, and people didn't see any good in it. And it just made me kind of think that, okay, politicians at some point will agree with one another that, look, regardless of where you come from, we're all Nigerians, and everybody deserves equal right to a better life, better living condition, and all that. So it took me aback, and I was like, oh, really? So it means that policy gladdened the hearts of many, many individuals, including those of the political class. And for the president to have done this, I think it's quite thoughtful, even though at the time they were in the opposition, one wouldn't have foreseen this coming, and people would have thought, look, these guys are just a bunch of hypocrites. Mm. But they deserve a pat at the back. I don't know the criticisms that people would have about that particular initiative and an attempt to resuscitate the Al-Majri
system of education.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I have this question. You know, will Al-Majri system make these kids have globally competitive skills? You know, I think that is one of the fundamental, you know, questions, you know, to be asked. Is it going to equip them to have, you know, globally competitive skills? And if it's going to do, how will it benefit, you know, Nigeria as it is? Because the basic understanding of, you know, Al-Majri system of education is Quranic, you know, education, while the world is going advancing in technology and people are doing things using the benefit of science and tech, and you know, people are I don't want to say bent on a system of education that is yet to clearly define what kind of skills, you know, will, you know, those kids will be empowered with. I think that is basic funding in basic education, you know, primary school system. During the time of Malam Adamu Adamu as Minister of Education, he makes very, very shocking revelation. He said one of his regrets is that there was nothing that he did to reduce the number of out of school. I mean, 13 million of them, you know, at the time, out of school children in northern part of Nigeria. And you are bringing, I do not know, but like I always say that, you know, some things I grapple to understand. But I do think that, you know, there should be investment in, I don't want to say Western education, because we can always tailor our education based on our needs, you know, the needs of our society, instead of copying hook, line, and sinker.
It looks like they said it's hybrid.
Okay.
The Al-Majri school, it's hybrid. These guys would be able to learn religious doctrines and at the same time have the privilege of, you know, obtaining
so why is the
Western
state
education.
Funding, why is the state funding, you know, a religion? Why is the state, you know...
Basically, it's to make them better human beings. And
well, we have our national values. And our national values is to make us better, make us, you know, relate with each other in a very civilized way. Mm-hmm. And most Nigerians don't know that we have national values. As a people, as a society, we have national values.
There's this GSC, Generation for Societal Change. Mm. And I think that's what they're campaigning about.
Yeah.
To be able to teach people
national values. Yeah. Yeah. Well, did you read the story of Akpabio saying that the killers of the 16 soldiers
might
likely be mercenaries?
Yeah.
And based on what?
He said, as Niger Delta people, of course, that's where he comes from. As Niger Delta people, he doubts highly if people of the Niger Delta stock to say would be able to do that. But just to fault what he said, I understand the attempts to condemn what happened and, of course, to try to redeem the image of the entire Niger Delta region and all that. Was it not in Odi?
Is it Niger? Because the soldiers that were killed, they are not Niger Delta people. They are soldiers of the
Nigerian
Federation.
State, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not about, you know, your region. So if we are going to, and Gilbert, give me a moment. If we are going to go, you know, by this logic, if they kill, okay, like the Ombatse situation, are you going to tell me that, okay, this how Nasarawa will behave? I don't like how we construct logic. If you are going to condemn that, okay, this thing...
This, regardless of...
Yes. True. Don't tell me that it's not your... No. Because I didn't ask whether they are your people. No, that's not the question. And I think that leaders should know how to talk. Don't say that we are not at war. Let me quote his words. Verbatim said, we are not at war. I don't think they are they are from the Niger Delta. They may be mercenaries. Mm-hmm. So who asks, you know, they are from Niger Delta? You know, these people are bad people. Mm-hmm. Killing soldiers, beheading them. They are bad people. They are barbaric.
Simple.
So don't attach, you know, any dignified name to them or even a pronoun or an adjective saying that. No. I don't like how leaders, you know, look at issue. Because now in his mind, he's thinking, oh, let me protect my region to make Mr. President happy. I don't like how we construct, you know, logic. Yeah, these people they are criminals. They are bad people, and we shouldn't celebrate them. It's just simple as that. Well, let's play this insert from Enyibo. Yesterday was the 1 year anniversary that Governor Mudfang was overwhelmingly voted. He got over half a million votes. And then INEC had to declare him winner of the governorship election last year. We're just going to have a conversation with our senior colleague, the Director of Press and Public Affairs. 1 year after, I mean, what are some of his experiences? What inspires, you know, Governor Mudfang to do the things that he's doing and what have you? When we come back, the show will continue. Stay here.
Clearly, you know, the current Senate, the 10th Senate, is about the most robust in our annals. Mm-hmm. And the current Senate is populated by senators who are deep in morality and legality. So, and by effect of Section 60 of the Constitution as amended, the two houses, House of Reps and the National Assembly, are empowered to set for itself rules to govern its proceedings. And that is to say that the standing order or the rule book of the Senate or House of Representatives originates from the Constitution and is so empowered. So now there are issues of privileges. So when it comes to issue of discipline, like in this case, is a constitutional issue because that's where it derives its authority. Now some people are, I hate some arguments. I'm not talking now as a special advisor to the Senate President. I'm talking like a former member of the House of Representatives, an active one for that matter. I was a spokesperson of the House of Reps. So I witnessed severally, not once, not twice, where disciplinary action have to be taken. And if you don't take these actions, if you subdue, you know, the process and procedure of the standing order, you end up inviting institutional anarchy. So the right thing has to be done. People are talking about going to ethics and privileges. But this was a situation that in a session televised by over about six television stations, the critical issue there is that there must be the issue of fair hearing. Was the man heard? Yes, he was heard. Then a member rose under privilege. It was televised. The member came under privilege and brought up the issue. People contributed. And Senator Ningi, I'm not a senator, but I also watched the way you did. But I want to give you the legislative understanding of how it works. He was given an opportunity. That's when he rose to speak. He stated that he did not say anything about two budgets. He didn't say this, he didn't say that, and all of that. You heard. He reneged on most of the things he said. He reneged. And what do you understand that to be? That is to mean that he has discounted on what he earlier presented through the BBC, you know, as statements of fact. I am saying clearly that if he had the opportunity, when they went to see the Senate President, the Northern Senators Forum, which he was the chairman, they went to see the Senate President. And the Senate President, if there is anything, if it's a product of consultants, bring it. They said, okay, they left. He said, bring it to the floor. That is to promote transparency. Bring it to the floor. Let everybody participate in that discussion. Mm-hmm. And instead of bringing to the floor, he started granting interview to BBC. So what I'm trying to say is that we must encourage at all time the enforcement of rules. If we submit the issue of the enforcement of rules, we will begin to have, we will continue to be populating our institutions with strong men. And before you know it, the institution would not be able to stand on its own anymore, and we'll all be imperiled.
Yeah, well, glad you're still here. The program is Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 FM here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanab.
My name is Gilbert Joseph.
Well, before I introduce our guests, we must thank the GM of JMDB, Akited Hartbankard, for. I mean, he came here on Friday, was it? Oh, no, on Thursday.
On Thursday.
Yeah, and he said that today, 19th of March, the executive order will, you know, take place. And true to his words, he was there outside by himself, you know, in the morning, as early as 7 a.m. He was already outside. So, well, Kitet Hartbankard, GM, GMDB, please continue to do the good work. And I hope that this is going to be sustainable. It's not going to be something that we're just going to enjoy.
One-off.
We have the Director of Press and Public Affairs, the erudite John. I don't know. He's a former. No, but I know that Honorable Gyangbere will never cease being a reporter because that is his.
Calling.
Yeah, he's tough. Good evening. Thank you so much for coming, Mr. Honorable Gyangbere.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, Gilbert. Thank you, Ponsak. Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you. It's good to have you, sir.
Thank you.
Well, just last year, yesterday was exactly 1 year when Plateau people overwhelmingly voted for Barrister Caleb Mutfang of the PDP, now the governor of Plateau State, to staff 4 years. He was declared amidst cheers. I mean, I still recall that day vividly. The people were at INEC headquarters and in Plateau State, and roads were blocked. I mean, it was just jubilation everywhere. Everybody was happy. If you transport us back to last year, talk to us how you felt when that big announcement came. Maybe, were you in the same room with Governor Mutfang that day?
Well, with all sense of humility, I want to profoundly thank the people of Plateau State for taking a bold decision, going into the pool and electing a governor that is doing the people of Plateau State proud. I know that we have a governor. I know that we have a leader that the people of Plateau State are walking with their shoulders high. Anywhere they found themselves across the globe, they can beat their chase that they have a governor.
Yeah.
1 year after the election, if you notice very well, you will realize that there are certain events that have taken place that have called for more celebration, even more than when he was declared
winner, yeah,
as the governor of Plateau State. And so what he's doing resonates with the people of Plateau State. He has done proud to the people of Plateau State in the last 1 year. He has not disappointed the people. He is walking the talk, and then the people are happy. If you are to look at it critically, there were a lot of setbacks. There were a lot of issues that came up that wanted to ground his takeoff.
Yeah.
But because of his courageous, because of his resilience.
Talk to us about, you know, that period. I mean, just after winning and then Mungu was in flames, the genocide, I'm using his word right now. How was it, you know, working with him, you know, at the time? Did you see a leader who was composed, you know, at the time, or a leader who was beset and he wasn't composed enough to handle the issue? I mean, what was your observation of him at that critical moment?
For a leader who is well prepared, for a leader who knows what he's expected to do before getting into governance, those things may weigh him down, but that is the most trial moment in his administration, that people were expected to see the leadership quality that is embedded in him. And to the glory of God, Plateau people outside Plateau, people across the globe who followed what happened in Plateau State, knows that Barrister Caleb Manasseh Mutfang, the governor of Plateau State, did what is expected of a leader. Before his swearing in, we are aware of the attacks in Mangu, sudden attacks in Mangu,
Bokos,
Riom, Barikiladi, where several lives we are lost. I see those attacks as a setback. I saw those attacks as something that wanted to, you know, ground his takeoff. Because when you are a leader and you have a smooth takeoff, you will go places within a short period of time. Mm-hmm. But when you are gripped with a lot of challenges that has to do with even loss of lives, you know, if you are not strong, if you are not strong-hearted, you will have issues even for you to begin to, you know, come up with policies that affect the life of the people positively. Mm-hmm. So those issues were some of the challenges that he went through. But during that period, I saw a leader. I saw a governor that was truly chosen by the people of Plateau State. He stood by the people. He stood by the ideals and the core values of the people of Plateau State, of being fair, of being courageous, of being peaceful, walking the talk, trying to unite the people, trying to make the people know that violence is not the way to go. Mm-hmm. Dialogue was instituted to ensure that across the divides, people come together, reason, and embrace each other so that we can take off and bequeath development. These were some of the things that the governor did.
Okay. Talk to us about the meetings that he had with head of security. I mean, first time in the history of Plateau, even a security man, Gilbert, came here to say, Governor Lalong, the former Governor Lalong, didn't constitute a security meeting, for 1 year. Mm. 1 year. But when Governor Mutfwang came, Taurid Lado Ja, the Chief of Army Staff, was here. IGP Ibeto Kun was there. I was here. CDS Musa,
Minister of Defense.
Yeah, they were all here. Just within short, talk to us. You know,
let me tell you something.
Those meetings, you know, talk to.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah,
when the governor was sworn in, the first thing he did was to go into his office and pray first in the office, make sure that he sanitized the office and asked for God's total guidance. The second day, he held Security Council meeting.
Yeah, definitely. Remember.
To assess the situation, to have a first-hand information about what was going on within the state. That was his first primary job that he embarked on. The next period of time, he had to move around the communities, you know, to feel the pulse of the people, to identify with the people, and give the people hope. What he did after then was to go out. Because security is a collective responsibility. You can't sit down in Plateau State and cry and expect manners from heaven. Mm-hmm. What you need to do is to approach the relevant authorities. That is why we talk about engagement, leadership engagement. We talk about advocacy. Mm-hmm. We talk about trying to ensure that you have contacts, networking, and these are the things that the governor put on the line. Mm-hmm. He moved out to Abuja. The first was to meet with the president.
Yeah.
He met with the president and he gave him the first-hand information that has to do with the security of Plateau State. And we saw what the president did as quick as possible. We saw his response. Yeah, we saw how he condemned the attacks on the plateau. We saw how he was furious about what was going on the plateau. Mm-hmm. And we know that he's also a man of peace.
Do you think that it was because of the honesty and sincerity of Governor Mutfwang to, in presenting the facts of what is going on the plateau to Mr. President, that was why Mr. President acted? Was there anything, you know, related to his sincerity and openness to say, Mr. President, this is the truth, this is what is happening, and this is how I want you to come in?
Well, when you hear the governor speak about issues, you know that he speaks from the depth of his heart. He speaks without devoid of sentiment. He speaks, you know, he covers all segments of the society. Across the faith divide, across ethnicity, across even where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. He is always blunt. His idea is to ensure that the people come to the table, understand the need to live together for the prosperity of the state. And so his conversation with the president is not far from telling him the reality of what is on ground. You know, when you hide certain things, you try to shield a lot of things, they will burst one day and you cannot be able to handle it. Sure. So when you open up and solicit for solution, I think his frank discussion with the president was what led to quelling the issues. After his engagement with the president, we also know the tour he made, you know, towards visiting all the security chiefs in the state. Yeah. He visited NEMA, the National Emergency Management Agency, to solicit for relief material for even the victims that were displaced from their ancestral homes.
Yeah.
And we saw them swiving into action. You know, these are the kind of things that the governor, actually the journey he embarked on to ensure that he restores sanity, to ensure that he make the people feel belong, to ensure that he restores hope in the people. Look, we went to Riom. Riom has been one of the hotbeds of violence attacks in Plateau State. Mm. Those people have never seen government officials for quite some time.
Wow.
Yes. You know, trying to come and inspire them, help them to understand the issues. I'm not saying that they have not come at all. Yeah, people come in their own usual way, you know, to sympathize with them. But seeing a governor who came with a genuine heart, who came with an intention of building confidence, building hope, restoring their hope, and ensuring them that they are part of the people of Plateau State, who deserve, you know, to be treated as the people of Plateau State, who deserve government attention. These are the kind of hope that the governor came and he gave to those people who were displaced.
Yeah.
Displaced from their homes for over a decade.
Yeah, one last question before Gilbert takes the next round of questioning. What do you think of Governor Mutfang's empathetic heart? What do you think about his empathy?
Talking about empathy, the governor is someone who feels the pains of the next person beside him. Mm. If you ever had a conversation with him, you will know that he is someone who actually feel the pains of whoever is in pains. He treats people like himself. He treats people like human beings. He handles people with a lot of caution. And he tried to identify what are your challenges. What can he come in? And that was exactly what he was doing with those IDPs. That was exactly what he was doing with people who have lost their source of livelihood, who have lost their homes for a decade, who have no hope. He tried to restore hope on these people. He tried to make them understand that they can still live as humans.
Okay.
You have had cause over the last 1 year to debunk, you know, certain insinuations along religious lines suggesting that the governor, you know, does not like people of other faith and all of these things and all that. When you receive these things, ordinarily, these are reasons, for example, why, you know, former President Muhammadu Buhari's government attempted to even initiate the social media bill. Because, look, he said it's an attempt to divide people along fault lines and all that. But when these reports come in, and then one tries to look at the reports you write to debunk the fake and malicious reports, it's usually soothing, and it's usually not one to say that is reactionary in any sense, because it attempts to just put the truth and the shot. But deep down in the coffers of government, in the cabinet, how are these information, how are these deep fakes received by government officials and the governor precisely? How does he receive some of this information?
Well, I wouldn't want to join issues with anybody, but by the special grace of God, today we are all aware of the fact that the narratives that were coming up from those points of view by certain individuals, I can't say it was the general narratives at that time. You know, people try to drive home their points using certain things to get to where they want to or to get to their destination. But I want to tell you that people who were driving such narratives that the governor doesn't like our brothers from the other faith and coming up with some issues that are not palatable before the public. I think they had an agenda. They were trying to, you know, drag the government. It's part of the slow takeoff that some of them wanted to. And if you check very well, you will even realize that some of those insinuations were not actually coming from people from the other feet. I believe that there are issues around that. But to the glory of God, the governor has proven whoever that was driving that narrative wrong. If you look at it carefully, you will realize that development is coming within the state, within the city center, or within the state, across the divides of communities. If you go to where our brothers are staying today, you will see the presence of government. If you go to where the Christians are, you will see the presence of government. So this government does not in any way try to discriminate. We don't discriminate. We believe that we are all people of Plateau State. And then whatever is meant for the people should be given to the people. So we don't see things from, we don't work based on sentiment. We don't. Talking about when those narratives come my way, we try to put the facts. We try to bring the reality. We try to present who the governor is. We keep projecting that. And the people have come to buy it. And they are seeing it practically. The governor likes everybody. He has said it clearly that he's a Christian, but his religion does not teach him to discriminate. And he has proved it. It's happening. It's working. You are seeing it. In the cabinet, we have a mixed. Everybody is carried along. And that is what we call governance. So we will continue to do the best we can to ensure that everybody is carried along. Even if you are not an individual of Plateau State, as long as you are residing in Plateau State for good, you are adding value to the economy, to the peace, to the unity of Plateau State, we'll carry you along. The essence of life is all about development. Growth is what we are looking forward to. So prosperity of the people of Plateau State is a key priority for the government of Plateau State as we speak today. So whoever can add value to that, we work with them. So that is where we are at the moment.
One of the cogs in the wheel of progress for this administration, when it first came, you know, of course, is the legal battle and all of that. We saw how that dealt a massive blow to the governor's party in terms of the lawmakers, state assembly lawmakers particularly, that lost their seats. Politically, that would have proven a tough, tough one to take and to stomach because talking about party politics, it means it's a minus one. Because these people who were hitherto lawmakers elected would have returned with no jobs. And, you know, of course, that would develop a feeling of expectation. Okay, what can the governor give me and all of that? How has he been able to manage all of these things and then to make everybody happy? Because at the moment, nobody has come out to say, look, I lost my post and I was neglected by the governor and all of that. And so just tell us how these things were addressed.
Governance is service for the people. Without the people, they can never be government. So the government live for the people. One thing I can assure you is that the governor has tried as much as possible to manage people within his political party and make them believe that God is in charge, God is in control over the affairs of men. Sometimes certain things happen with you and you feel that is the end of the road. God may be preparing you for something bigger. And it has happened. We've seen the typical examples of it in so many quarters, in so many places. And I also believe that the governor is not a violent person. He's someone who tried to inspire people. It brings hope. And that's what exactly he has done with those lawmakers that suddenly lost their job on account of what I cannot actually explain here. We are all aware of the issues. But we believe that when there is life, there is hope. And we believe that tomorrow is greater than today. For the fact that they are not there today does not mean that they cannot be there tomorrow. So these are some of the issues that we try to manage. And I believe that we are working together and they have no reason, you know, to groan because this issue was not caused by any individual. And what we are trying to do is we need to package ourselves. We need to believe in ourselves. We need to believe in our state. We need to believe that we can work together to salvage our state. And either now or next, or either now or later, we can still do it. And so governance is all about joining hands together. And that is exactly what the governor is doing with the people of Plateau State and people that are from his own political party and who actually lost these cases.
Finally, they say that elections come with their unique characteristics and traits. But Nigerian politicians always devise the same means of winning elections. And I'm saying this in view of all of the antics that we saw play out before the election that produced His Excellency as governor. You saw the propaganda, you know, the smear campaigns of hatred and all of that. By virtue of some of the things that people have seen and some of the things that you have said, is that enough to change the narrative in terms of how politicians carry themselves before, during, and even after elections, just so society is prioritized, the state is prioritized, and then to just say, look, you can't bring down the roof on everybody's head because you want to win at all costs?
Well, it depends on the angle you're standing, but the general norms are that people should be able to accept defeat. The whole thing lies in the power of the people. The sovereignty lies in the people. And if the people did not align with you at a particular point, does not mean they cannot align with you tomorrow. So if they do not align with you now, one thing I think we should do is to be magnanimous, accept our fate, and move on. What you need to do is to devise another means of trying to make the people understand your ideologies, trying to make them understand your philosophy, trying to make them understand that you are going to stand with them. But this is a practical thing. It is a practical thing. Once your deeds, what you did yesterday, will speak for you tomorrow. So I believe we should be able to learn how to embrace ourselves, whether it is good or it is bad. We join those hands with those who have actually been placed in certain positions at the period, so that tomorrow you too, once you get there, those same people can also support you for you to, you know, move the state forward. I think this is just what I can say about this. We must prioritize the interests of our state. We must not overheat the polity because of our selfish interests. That will not help us. That will not move the state forward.
All right. We've been having a chat with the Director of Press and Public Affairs to the Executive Governor of Plateau State, Honorable Gang Bere, and yesterday was 1 year exactly when Plateau people overwhelmingly voted for Barrister Caleb Mutfang of the PDP to become governor, to serve them as governor for 4 years. So we're just, you know, having a reflection what after, you know, this, what has happened, you know, within this last 1 year. You can join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. 08121877777 or call 09055666699.
And you can head over to Facebook and drop your comments on JFM Live and on X at JFM Jos.
Let's take this call. Hello. Okay, not working. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Good evening.
Thank you for calling. Join the conversation. Tell us your name, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Eddie Kumar. I'm calling from Peter and T. Junction.
We're listening.
Yes, I will comment your guest. We have spoken very, very well. And actually, we are celebrating His Excellency Barrister Caleb Mutfang for having a 1 year in tenure, which is very, very recommended. His 1 year in tenure is just like a full tenure of 4 years by what he has been doing and by the development he has brought in Plateau State, which is very, very recommended. And we are calling on the people to give the Plateau a support, especially the governor team, because the time is now, team is a team that have been doing a lot in Plateau State and we have been recommended, especially what GMDP have been doing and what the executive order that have been implemented there, the impact in Plateau State, which is a very, very big development. So we are calling on the governor. He should do more as he has done because more people are commenting on him. So he should not deter from the good work that he has been doing so that his work will campaign for him as he talks. And we are calling on the people that are working with the governor. They should impose sincerity as the governor has been, because so that they can work as a team. We have a lot to achieve in Plateau State.
Thank you.
That's what I want to say. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Omar. Thank you.
We got too late. 08121877777 or call 09055666699. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Pastor. Good evening.
Yes, thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Pastor Eric from Redfield, I greet your guest there.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you,
Eric.
Thank you, my brother.
I believe you can hear me very well.
Loud and clear. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. To me, the governor has not stayed up to 1 year in the office. And I believe that Plateau people who see what he's doing within this shorter period of governorship in the office can be able to bear witness that Mutfang meant well, and his team that is around him, they are doing a lot of work to make it work. We want to urge Plateau people and every group to join with this movement. It's a movement, and I believe so much that the Plateau people will enjoy the bidding they did within that period of election, bringing Mutfang on board. It's a man that, in few this thing I have seen and I have come closer to, and I believe so much that Mutfang will do so much work in Plateau State. We should join hand and support him. If you go around the city, he has cleared so many places. the marketplaces has been a kind of places you can park. Governance is lead and watch back whether the people are following you. Mufan should look whether people are following him in what he's doing in this time. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello. Good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Yes, this is Benedict calling from Birmingham.
Thank you for calling. We're listening to you.
Let me just say good evening and welcome to your guest.
Thank you very much, Benedict.
Yes, so and I have just a very few things to say before I get some for others. Because, and that is very simple. If you see somebody who wants to walk, even your friend, GSM, or each couple of students who want to walk, you see it from the first day, they step into the office and they see the day, and even if they at this time, last 8 years, we are talking about 10% of salaries that we did not be sustained. In the past 8 years, by this time 8 years ago, we are talking about corruption, that the PDP was corrupt, and want to recover money and the rest of it. But this time last year, if it's a blame game, the issue of we are going to make security work, we're going to make workers smile, and the rest of it. All these things are not really achieved. And over 8 years, over 8 years. But if you look at less than 1 year, who wants to work has actually stepped into the office, you know, of the government in Plateau State. They did not want to blame the past administration. Even though over 300 billion naira was accused, the past government was accused of that. Over 400 tractors, nobody's given account of that up to today, especially from the past administration. They don't want to beckon on that. They don't want to ask questions about that. It's focusing on the people. It's focusing on development. It's focusing on so many projects.
Yeah, well, wrap up your thoughts, sir. Wrap up your thoughts.
I'm sorry, yes. The governor is doing a lot. If you look at the proper road now, we're commending him, and he's doing a wonderful. Let him continue.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hello. 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 Wow, bad connection there. 08121877777. Hello and good evening. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Good evening. I'm Isaac. I'm calling from Jos.
Isaac, we're listening to you.
Yes, I really want to appreciate the guest. You have spoken well.
Thank you.
And the governor, too. He's a bulldozer. That is what I'm to call him. Because he's the man of the people. And our roads have been tight. And we walk smoothly, not like before. We are praying for him, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But I have a problem, sir. Pertaining his appointment, I think the people of Jaguara, as far as I'm concerned, nobody has been given an appointment, and they have worked tirelessly so that they see that the governor emerged. So please, the governor should please look into that, because I know it's a governor that is a hearing governor. So that is my take this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for raising it.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello. Good evening. Thank you for calling.
Very good evening.
Thanks for calling. We're listening to you. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Thank you very much for now. Good evening, Joseph Gilbert and Honorable Gilbert.
Thank you very much.
This is the voice of Plateau State emanating from a great congregation, Auntie Solomon.
Yeah, we're listening. Thanks for calling.
Well, we don't need to overflow the issues. Even blind man or whoever have seen the handwork of the governor, except those who doesn't like the state. They don't love the state, that they cannot commend this governor. But with a brief period he has spent in office, he has recorded a development that is bigger than the period he has spent in the office. Okay, the governor should be recommended by entire Plateau people. And, okay, and I want to say this. If you look at the appointment of the executive governor, he includes masses, most especially the youth, both female and male, into the government. Simply means he's a kind of a father or a leader that he doesn't eat food completely with the seat.
He reserved the seat for tomorrow. And that's what the governor is doing today. You look at his appointment, even the commissioners, among the appointment of the commissioners, and SS, the reason I appointed SS, most of them, even me, I'm just 45, but some of them are 25, 30. So he's grooming leaders of tomorrow. So the youth should rally around this man. He has the same heart. He is set to develop this state. He is on his feet to develop this state. We have not seen any setback, except those who wanted to deter him. But he said he will never be deterred, and he is not deterred. We are not all deterred, and we will never be deterred. We are behind this governor. We continue to be behind him. May God help us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. After this, Gilbert.
Hello, good evening, Pastor.
Thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
My name is Jerome. I am calling from Okubaru.
Thank you, Jerome. We're listening to you.
The government has been really trying, really committing. He has done exactly what we voted on, and then we continue to pray for him to continue working. We're really happy at this season.
Hello? Okay, I think we lost our connection there. Call us. Well, that's as much we can take because Gilbert is about to take us through social media.
On Facebook, Dashe Alexander Danuk says, kudos to the governor and all his appointees for the good works and efforts so far. The Plateau people can see the developments for themselves and were happy and appreciative. We only pray for God's grace to do more. Moses Adinoye says, Governor Caleb Mutfwang's style of leadership is commendable. Since he assumed office as the governor, he has been doing remarkably well. Kudos to him. My regards to Gyangbere. Thank you and good evening. Emmanuel Tom Pam says, I'm impressed with the performance of the governor. More power to his elbow. Comrade Dawus Longa Dawus says, His Excellency Barrister Caleb Mutfwang has done what's expected of a good leader in tackling the insecurity and other affairs of Plateau State. Just a call to Your Excellency, farmers are ready to farm, but no fertilizer. And when will fertilizer be distributed for sale by the government? And what's the process to follow?
Thank you. Well, Honorable Gyangbere, please go ahead and respond. Accolades. Give your response.
Well, I want to sincerely thank those who have made contributions so far and to point it out clearly that yesterday was 1 year of his election into office.
Yeah, not
swearing. Not that he is 1 year in office.
Yeah.
By the special grace of God, when he is 1 year in office, there will be some rolling out some of his achievement in a robust form that people will be able to see, feel, and also touch. And so far, I want to sincerely thank those who have made contributions. I want people to know that the governor of Plateau State mean well for the people. Like I said, government is all about the people, and he has lived for the people. He has raised the bar of governance. He is willing to continue with what he's doing and even add more. I want us to also pray for the governor so that areas and places that he's going to solicit help for the state, that those will be more doors will be open for the state. And development, we are expecting more and more development. I want to sincerely thank our young people who are out there. One thing I want to say is that we should remain patient. And I believe that in one way or the other, people are going to be touched. In one way or the other, people are going to feel the impact of this government. If you don't have it directly today, possibly you will have it tomorrow. And so I want to plead for people's understanding, particularly the young people, your energy that you have put in. I believe that there are different ways God will reward you. So please, let's continue to move together. Let's continue to support this government. Our morale should not go down. I believe that the governor means well for young people. I know very well that the governor is, mentorship is one of the things he's doing. And so I believe that the leadership quality that is impacting on young people, let's keep our hope alive. Let's continue to believe in his leadership prowess. I believe at the end of the day, in one way or the other, we'll be touched positively and we impact our communities.
Thank you so much, Honorable Yang Bera, Director of Press and Public Affairs to the Executive Governor of Plateau State. Thank you for your time.
Indeed, thank you. Thank you, my brother, Ponsak.
Yeah. Gilbert, your final word.
A good time. A good time it was.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, very relaxed conversation today. Well, the news will come your way top of the hour, 6 o'clock. Do have a fantastic evening. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.